Jim Vanio interview, part 2, March
15, 2011.
All right. So, you were involved in the operations to take Con and close the Filet Gap.
Yep.
Tell me about how, tell me about those experiences.
Well, anyway, not much happened because the colonel and the and his second in command both got lost their tanks. They went out into a field, and then the Germans had them right away. and the colonel became he eventually lost his you know what he was doing. He they took it from him because of he went out on his own with his friend in a tank, and then the Germans, they knocked him off, and they had to crawl back on their stomachs. After we landed, you couldn't go very far, and you're in trouble. But from where we were, in that place that the German went over top of us, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And he headed for that airport, and I didn't know then that the airport was there. None of us did, of course. But anyway, I was asked to send a message. So my tank commander takes me over to his, and this is how I got into wireless. Gave me the message to send, and I sent it, and then he seemed quite pleased. He seemed very pleased, and I never thought anything of it. And in fact, I bawled him out because I wasn't good at figuring out who is who if I can't see them, okay? So anyway, I was in the tank and I called and, I was in the tank and on the radio, and he was gone somewhere else. And he was the guy who bawled out, and he came around behind the tank and came around the side, and I'm looking at him, and he's just, boy, was he mad.
He was mad.
Boy, he went and talked to the colonel, and I guess what the colonel probably, I assume colonel must have said, or at least I would have, hey, this guy is doing the job. If they get a message, you're supposed to, or you get a call on the radio, you've got to answer that as fast as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that's the way the colonel, because they stood there, yep, for quite a while, you know, maybe 20 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he went back to his, they put him into a different tank, colonel put him into, and it was advanced. Already advanced, you know, around behind those bushes that were there. So I guess the colonel told him what's what, you know, and don't knock. I would say don't knock a good guy, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And I didn't realize, it took me a little while. Hey, I bet that guy is some, because when he was walking away, he was just glaring at me. I saw him. I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
I was in no trouble at all.
Do you remember who that was, though?
Huh?
Do you remember who that was, the gentleman that was glaring at you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know him.
Do you remember his name now?
His name was Theobald. Lieutenant Theobald.
Oh, yes. And what was the colonel's name?
Colonel Wilson. Wait a minute. Colonel's name. Well, they called him Nancy. I don't know why the hell they would call him that. That's mean. He was an older man, and he took the regiment over, and he looked after them when they were in Aldershot and did all the training. So they, in fact, they took him away from the tank entirely, and they sent him to Aldershot, and he was training people over there.
He became a trainer.
Yeah.
Is that after he went out on his own and got shot?
This was after they lost their two tanks.
Right.
Yeah. They went away out in the field. I was watching, we were all watching them, you know. You could see the flow of the land, you know. It went down and then slowly up again. It was all wheat and that. Mm-hmm. I think it was wheat.
Wheat.
Or something like that.
Right.
And, went up like that, and it was, they were both tanks were burning. And, these guys, the colonel had to crawl back on his belly button.
Right.
Yeah, and they followed the track that the tank made all the way back.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get there, you got to get through the enemy lines, infantry. And then when you get through there, you got to be careful who you're talking to, because our own guys might think you're German.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. That's a dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So what was your job, not your personal job, but the job of your squadron at
oh, well, at eventually this point? I stayed on, no, I didn't get on there until... I don't know if you heard of that little hill we had to go over.
I want to say it's Etterville Ridge.
Yeah, what ridge?
Etterville. Does that sound familiar?
That's it. Irene? Oh, she's gone.
She stepped out.
Yeah, she. I think she knows pretty good. She can remember like you wouldn't believe. I'm jealous.
She's got a good memory. So I think it was Etterville Ridge.
Yeah, and that's it. When we got to the other side, that was at night time, eh?
Okay.
During the night, this driver, well, his name was Al Lavoie. He was up. He lived his life out in Yubo. And anyway. We bumped into this half track. You know what a half track
is? I do, yes.
Yeah, it bumped into a half track, and then the Germans put a shot into them, and it was the box at the back was an open box truck, an open box, and it was just packed with soldiers, the infantry. And they were piling out, and I was looking through the telescopes, you know, and hey, look at that. I was sleeping, and Lavoie woke me up. Hey, gee, up, look at that. So, yeah, okay. Oh, boy. And they were really going at it. And the whole thing was burning inside.
Right.
Now, that's what got me.
So this was a German half-track?
Fine.
Was this a German or an Allied half track?
It's an Allied half track.
Allied half track.
Yeah, we all had our lines to follow, and we were in some guys. The infantry were in half tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And anyway.
So you're defending this Etterville Ridge. You're holding a river crossing, if I remember rightly.
Well, there was no. I don't remember any rivers.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Then you went along, then you went down into a dip, and then he struck something again with the tank, and couldn't get it going. home. Start the homilite, for God's sake.
Start the what?
Homilite.
Homilite.
Homilite. That's one of those things like you take out in a picnic, you know, a little stove.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one of those things. Yeah. They're not big, you know.
Right.
The tank, every tank had one in it. That's how we cooked our meals.
All right, this may seem like a stupid question, but you're advancing and you're stuck. Why do you take out a stove?
Pardon?
You're moving along,
yeah.
And you get stuck.
Yeah.
Why do you take out a stove?
What happened was I finally told the guy that's supposed to do it. See, I was in the they put me in the co-driver's seat because we were connected to the infantry.
Right.
Infantry headquarters. And the guy that was supposed to be doing it, he was not that, wasn't well trained anyway. And he just stood there, and finally I said, for Christ's sake, get some gasoline into that thing and it'll go. And that's what they did, and away we went.
Oh.
But Mr. Theobald never said a word, or a good word, Jim, nothing like that. But,
So your tank ran out of gas?
Yeah, it had run out of gas. You know, because we used a lot of gas. Now, in headquarters tank, you're using a lot, doing a lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
So you're using a lot of gas.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you're in the colonel's tank here, and you're doing a lot of communicating.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I wasn't the colonel's tank at that time. I was in Mr. Theobald's tank.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he was the one that was going to knock me around.
Right.
Oh, yeah, he got over it and everything. We were good friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And anyway... we got that, got the tank going the second time, and then we went up a little knoll,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we got on top. That's when I woke up, everything stopped, so I woke up and then I jumped out and I went over to the colonel's tank. And it was Nancy Morton that was, bossing it, not a lesser officer. Then he says, that's when he told the... then I found out why they wanted me in there. I found out that the Colonel Morton says, why don't you teach all the guys? That's the way they're supposed to talk on the radio. And the sergeant... The signal sergeant, he says, well, you can't do that. You can't teach everybody. So anyway, I knew there was something going on. And then it was quite a while later, finally the sergeant told me, well, because they were sending us out as relay stations, you know, we couldn't hear them because of sandy soil and
okay.
Things like that.
All right.
And then he told me, he says, they're sending you out because we can understand you. So that was the answer.
Right.
But it was a long time coming.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're moving forward because to have relay stations between the different tanks,
between
the headquarters and the front.
No, A squadron is out there,
mm-hmm.
and there's an A squadron tank, and then there's a B squadron tank way over here. You couldn't get the message through.
Right.
Yeah.
What squadron were you in?
Well, I was with A squadron.
You were with A squadron?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they put me in there. That's when Colonel... the guy they called,
Nancy.
Huh?
Nancy.
Nancy, that's why they called him Nancy, but I mean, that's the first time I realized why they used me all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, that's after Ederville Ridge.
Yeah.
You had some rest.
Yeah.
And then you began in August of 1944. You took part in Operation Total Eyes.
Yeah, I remember that.
You remember that? So it was a night attack to close the Falaise Gap.
Yeah, that was the night attack was the night that we went over and the guy burned up right in front of us.
Right.
Yeah. So of course, the driver of Lavoie immediately puts his tank into reverse to get out of there
right.
because the fire was pretty good. It was going. And, you know, it could be seen all around. The Germans already put one into them, so everybody backed away out. And then they reorganized themselves again.
And then what happened?
Then we kept on going.
Mm-hmm.
And then he banged into the vehicle in front of him.
Right.
We got that one going. And then...
There was a lot of losses in the regiment at this time.
Pardon?
The regiment had heavy losses at this time. Right?
No. Everything was... they lost... a guy by the name of Olin. We lost him.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a shrapnel went through his head. Shot came in. I think I told you, a shot came in, hit him in another piece of, little piece, hit him in the head and killed him.
In the head.
Yeah.
And this is when you were approaching Caen?
Oh no, that was, Caen was way behind.
Okay. Oh, so this is after Caen?
After Caen.
After Caen, okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember any sort of, there's, when I'm doing my research, I discovered there's a belief after the war that the Canadian Army wasn't as effective as it could have been because of poor leadership. Do you recall any of that sort of sentiment or feeling at the time when you were...
Nothing.
You were doing great. You were doing a good job.
I was quite happy. I had full confidence. And some... I heard people say about... talk about... even Eisenhower and Colonel, what was his name?
General Simmons?
Simmons, yeah, him and the other...
Montgomery,
all the other officers, we had full... Nobody ever said anything.
No.
No, there was no, you should have done this. We never heard anything.
Right.
Never heard anything from the infantry neither. I went into Brussels once. Was it Brussels? Brussels. And I got kind of tanked up a little nervous by myself.
Yeah.
And then the infantry seen me. So, hey, we got help. We got a tank here. We're going to take him in with us tonight. So I ended up with a bed sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they were happy as hell.
Made some infantry friends,
and
did you?
I never heard a single word from any of the guys.
No bad words about the leaders at all, eh?
None whatsoever.
Okay, all right.
I never heard any.
All right. So at one point in late August, the Colonel Nancy Morton, he left and Major Wilson came in.
Yeah, that was because he was old. He was an old man, eh?
Right.
He wasn't a young guy at all.
No.
He was a man. And he loved his boys and everything. He brought them over, and that was, What's his name? What did I say his name was?
Morton?
Morton.
Morton?
Colonel Morton.
Colonel Nancy Morton.
Yeah, okay. That's him.
And so he was old, but he looked after his boys. He looked after you.
Well, I figure he did when he was on the job. But they, one day he had called all everybody together as best he could and had a little set, or not a set, had a speech for the boys and all that, and everybody clapped him and they were happy with him and everything.
You must have been.
Then you wonder how the hell they could. My wonder was, how the hell can you call a man Nancy and then turn around and clap your hand?
Yeah.
And say he's such a wonderful person.
Right. So was the Nancy, was it meant to be mean, or
pardon?
When people called him Nancy, was it mean, or was it a sort of endearing nickname?
I never did find out. I don't know.
You didn't? Okay.
See, when they came over, Nancy brought them over. And they stayed in England, and he trained them and all that. And when he was finished, they took him to Aldershot, and he got into Aldershot. And he was training people in Aldershot. And it's just the basic training, you know.
Right. Okay. So, would you like to go on from where Major Wilson took over? Or would you like to talk about Normandy? Or Caen, or Falaise, or any experiences around there?
Well, there's some things that.
What do you remember about that time?
I'd have to write them down. I can remember something for a bit, and then it all at once it goes away, it disappears, and I want to try to write some of these things down.
All right. Well, perhaps we can revisit that at another time.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll agree with you.
All right. So,
in my opinion, all the guys were quite happy. Some of them didn't like it because I was the youngest, and they put me in as wireless. There was a number of guys that would have liked to have taken over the regimental wireless control.
Right.
Yeah.
But you were good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember any really important communications or really important orders that came through? Does any of those stick in your head? Like, I'm sure they were all important, but does any life-saving ones or really important orders that you had to relay about attacks? Is there any imperative communications that stand out in your head?
There was a few times, not very often. You know, they were, the regiment seemed to, they'd send out, you know, what a troop is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, troop, and what are the next step up is, it's something with an S.
Squadron?
Squadron.
Okay.
Right, squadron. And they're pretty well trained, I think. I think they were well trained.
Okay. And a message that you remember, you were about to go tell me about something important with that. You received an important message with a squadron. No?
No, I don't.
No.
I'd have to think about that.
Okay.
I can't remember.
All right.
I'm taking pills and things.
Okay.
It's right. Supposed to help your brain.
Your brain. I think everybody could use those. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, why don't we take a break then? And
yeah, I don't mind the time.
Right. Okay. So.